Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome in Odyssey NFL insider Michael Lombardi. He's the host of the GM Shuffle podcast, which you can find on the Odyssey app as well as wherever you get your podcasts. Follow him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. Michael, thank you very much for the time. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Hope all is well.
Should the Browns go after Jimmy Garoppolo right now, Michael?
You know, I wrote a column for Visa and Vegas Stats and Information Network. I wrote that column back in, about a month ago. And I thought they should then. I mean, just based on all the things that was coming out of the league office, their insistence on wanting to get a year-long suspension. I love Jacoby Brissett. I was in New England when we drafted him. He's got great leadership skills. He's a wonderful person. You know, you can't go wrong with him, but as a backup, it's ideal, three or four games. But if this is going to be a longer suspension, then I think you could trade for Garoppolo at relatively cheap. The Browns have plenty of cap room to handle his contract and redo his contract. He's willing to take a lower contract. And then, you know, if he plays well and the Browns go to the playoffs, they get a compensatory pick, and then next year they get Watson back.
Well, that's kind of the rationale that we have been laying out about Garoppolo. And obviously, we can't see the medicals. I've seen very limited in the way of him being able to throw the football. But if it is anything like we saw, you know, as recently as last year, where they went on a pretty good run at the end of the season, he ends up getting to the NFC Championship game, the great duel in the snow at Lambeau. I mean, I don't see what's not to like about going and getting Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't either, and it's going to be really cheap, and the kid's willing to redo his contract. And look, what you want all the time is you want a player that has something to prove, right? You want a player that has something that he is, you know, that he's got something at stake. And I think Jimmy wants to get his career back on track. I mean, look, the guy's won a lot of games for the 49ers. He's won a lot of games for Kyle Shanahan. You know, I happen to be in the draft room. We drafted Jimmy, you know, after I left Cleveland, and Jimmy's a great kid. Got great leadership skills. He's tough. You know, the guy's won 33 NFL games. That's not an easy thing to do. And he's not been durable as much as you would like him to be, but he makes throws down the field. He's tough. His teammates love him. Does he make mistakes? All quarterbacks make mistakes, but I think when you watch him, he's a true starting quarterback, and he's, you know, he would be an improvement for the season over anyone that they could get at this point. And I would think San Francisco would want to trade him to Cleveland because they don't want him to go to Seattle.
Mike Lombardi with us on the hotline. You mentioned Jacoby Brissett at the start that you think would be ideal for a, you know, short sample size. But if it has to be the whole year, what would the Browns be looking at from him? You talked about leadership, but are you as nearly as high on him as maybe you were 4 or 5 years ago? What has changed?
Well, I think the number one thing that Jacoby struggles with when it becomes a drop-back pass game, when he can't utilize play action, when he has to anticipate routes inside, you know, what often disguises quarterbacks and masquerades them as potential great players is this idea, you know, when we watch him in a play-action pass game, where they fake a handoff, it separates the defense, and then they throw it to a high-low player, somebody down the field or somebody in the flat. You know, and there's really no anticipation to the throws. You just make the throw. When you're in a drop-back pass game, you've got to throw that in cut, and you got to throw it and trust the receiver's going to be in there because you're throwing it before he breaks into the open. That's an instinct. That's almost what I call a crib thing. Your mama either gives it to you at the crib or you just don't have it. A lot of guys in college football don't have that because of the RPO game. So we see these guys that amass great numbers in college football. When they get the pro, they can't really make the jump because they don't have that great anticipation. They don't have it. It's not instinctive. It's not something you can be taught. Now, Garoppolo is really good on play action. That's what he did most of his career in San Francisco, but he also has great anticipation, and he can make those throws. So, to me, you're limited in the spectrum and the volume of offense that you could run with Jacoby because of that, because anybody who's been around Jacoby coaches will know that that's going to be the liability, and it happens. And so it's hard. Once defensive coordinators know that's the way it's going to go, then it becomes harder to execute that plan.
Michael Lombardi, host of the GM Shuffle, joining us on the show. I'm going to go back to Jimmy G for just a second. A lot of people have asked us, would Kareem Hunt be a part of a trade package? And I said, frankly, Michael, I don't know. You know, the cap number's big, and I'm frankly thinking, well, I'd rather just trade a pick or even a couple of picks, because I don't care about picks for the future anymore, than get rid of Kareem Hunt, where, yeah, I know Kareem Hunt might be a little bit disgruntled here and there, but Jimmy Garoppolo is going to want some weapons. Kareem Hunt's going to be a weapon, right? Or maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
No, I don't think it's going to cost you that much to get Jimmy G. Look, they've been trying to trade Jimmy G since February. They've had no nibbles on. Now, part of the problem has been his shoulder. But quarterbacking positions and starting jobs are like musical chairs. Once they're all filled, nobody's looking for another one. So, you know, who's your competition? Carolina's not going to be involved in Jimmy G. Seattle says they're going with Geno Smith, right? Pittsburgh is talked about, you know, Pickett and Mason Rudolph, and, of course, they've got Mitchell Trubisky. So, like, if you're going to trade him, he doesn't want to be a backup. He's not going to go somewhere and take a pay cut to be a backup. So he wants a starting job. So that puts Cleveland in the driver's seat. Plus the fact that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have been trying to trade him for 7 months. They haven't been able to get it. The only reason they're holding on to him now instead of cutting him is because they're waiting for somebody to get an injury. They're waiting for somebody to become desperate. Oh, I lost my starting quarterback. I got to go get one. Much like Minnesota did when they traded for Sam Bradford. That's really what they're waiting for. So to me, you wouldn't have to pay that much. And if you want to talk about Hunt, like, to me, Hunt's a vital part of what they do. The guy only played in 8 games last year. They had 3 running backs that averaged near 5 yards a carry. I think they need all 3 of them. Because what I think we misunderstand about 17 games is it's not playing 17 games. It's how many plays do you play a year, right? So if you play 1,000 plays a year and you play 17 games, okay. If you play 1,000 plays a year and you play 16 games, it's the same, right? It's all the same. You're not playing any more games. You're just playing plays. And so when you have 3 backs like they have, you can rotate the amount of plays and keep guys fresh for the fourth quarter. I would not trade Hunt. I would be just with the Browns that I would say, hey, Kareem, we'll redo your deal. You know, maybe we'll redo your deal. Maybe we'll talk to you after the offseason, but you're on the contract. We're not trading you. Well, we need him to help Nick Chubb be effective in the fourth quarter.
Mike Lombardi, GM Shuffle Podcast, an excellent podcast, definitely in the rotation. He joins us on the hotline. So yesterday, Roger Goodell at the owners' meetings, he ended any of the curiosity about what the NFL truly wants. We'd seen a lot of leaks, but now we heard right from the horse's mouth exactly what Roger Goodell and the NFL wants when it comes to Deshaun Watson. Knowing everything we know today about Watson, knowing what Sue Robinson said, knowing what came out in both discovery, the depositions, just everything to get to this point, Michael, would you have traded for Deshaun Watson? We know that a third of the league attempted to.
Well, they did until the contract, right? They were all involved. And I think that all the teams knew this about the case. I think they've seen the evidence, as Goodell said yesterday. And what he describes as predatory behavior, you know, multiple violations, you know, they were egregious. I think that was a concern. And to then go ahead and guarantee him the entire contract, to me, that would have been something that to go against the policy and the belief and the funding rules of the National Football League, to me, was a huge stretch. Look, I would have been all over drafting Deshaun Watson, and I think you can go back and listen to anything I said about Deshaun Watson coming out. I thought he was a guy who could build your culture. I thought he was a great kid. I thought he was everything the Browns needed in the year they traded the 12th pick to Houston for them to get him. Obviously, his character wasn't what I thought it was, and so I would have been really concerned about that. So I don't think I would have made that move. There's no way.
Well, I find it interesting that so many people are Monday morning quarterbacking it today. I mean, we know, right? Deshaun Watson's going to play eventually. He's going to play. And I don't know. To me, you know, the morals and ethics aside, you know, every team has quote-unquote number of bad guys. Now, that's not an apology for Watson, as we're still trying to find out and get down to the bottom of what happened in that situation. But if you are Jimmy Haslam, would you rather win with a guy like Deshaun Watson or lose to a guy when you're playing Deshaun Watson?
Well, I don't think that's – I mean, I don't disagree with what you said. Obviously, you know, we're – the business of character is the hardest business to judge, right? But I think what the element that you're missing in that question is, are you going to guarantee – are you going to use him as the $250 million poster child for your franchise? I think that's where you get into a little bit of a really bad area. I don't disagree with you. You know, like if he was willing to do a deal and it was going to be, you know, where you weren't having a guarantee, but to guarantee him his entire contract buttoned up like it is, to me, that's a statement you're making to your locker room. That's a statement you're making to your fan base, you know, and I think that that's really where you get into a little bit of a gray area. I don't disagree with you on certain things. And if he is suspended for a year and he comes back and, you know, he's paid his, he gets a second chance. America's full of people that get their second chances. But, you know, to me, I think this contract, you have to weigh that in and the implications of that contract as it affects the rest of the players in the league and the team.
Would you have kept Baker then?
You know, it's funny. You know, I don't want to sound like a Monday morning quarterback. My son coaches down in Carolina. I like Baker as a player, as a person. I think Baker, and I've said this numerous times on Cleveland radio, Baker's problem is he can't see. He, you know, when he drops back at 6 feet tall and you rush him inside in a drop back pass game, you know, it's hard for him. I thought Kevin did a wonderful job with him 2 years ago when he ran all those play actions, separated the defense and got him on boots and naked and got a lot of easy plays for him. But when the game becomes a drop back pass game, Baker really struggles. He gets too many balls tipped. You know, he averages almost 6 balls tipped a game, which is not good. When the ball gets tipped by the defense and they get their hands on it, there's a chance for an interception. So to me, you know, that draft, I'm quoted as saying, in that draft, I would have taken Quentin Nelson and Bradley Chubb and traded back in the first to get Lamar Jackson. But nobody listens to me, so it didn't really matter.
Michael, you've been around the NFL a long time. You know the ins and the outs of this league. You just referenced one of your kids that is in Carolina. Your other kid is the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, went with McDaniels, someone Browns fans certainly know all about, with the many overtures that they had over the years with bringing in McDaniels to be the head coach. First of all, talk about that just from a, not just an NFL lifer's perspective, but a father's perspective that you've got these kids in these roles. And one of them now offensive coordinator, that's got to feel pretty special.
Well, I'm really ultimately proud of both my children. I mean, my wife deserves a ton of the credit for it too, because of, you know, I wasn't around, and, you know, Josh is a tremendous human being. I think, had Josh taken the job in 2014 in Cleveland, I probably wouldn't have gotten fired, but he didn't, and life went on better for me because I won 2 more Super Bowls. So, you know, I think Josh is an outstanding coach, and for my son Mick to be able to work and learn from him and learn with Coach Belichick, who to me is the greatest coach of all, I'm really proud of him. And as a father, you know, you get to sit back, and what you really want to be able to do is you want to be able to watch your children, but also watch them, you know, in a way to where they don't make the same mistakes you made in your career. And so that's the best part about it, you know, and I'm really enjoying that. I love the fact that he has this great opportunity with a great coach. And my other son has a great opportunity working. He's been with Matt Rhule now for a long time, going back to their Baylor days together. So it's fun for me to sit back and watch and root for. You know, not only do I root for my friends, I genuinely root for my children in this, and it makes me really proud.
I don't know if you're getting the inside dirt there from, you know, the situation with your son with the Raiders, but are you feeling better about Derek Carr today than maybe you did a year ago? Do you think they've got a legit shot in the AFC West?
Well, I think I know who Derek Carr is, whether he was there or not. I think if you protect Derek Carr, and you get him a chance to where he's not going to get hit often, and you force him to make plays that are off track, then he's really a good player. But if he gets hit and he gets into that funk, you know, where his eye level stiffs down because he got hit, now we got a problem. So, look, they've got some really serious skill players now. You know, one of the things that I think people don't understand, when you have a receiver of the ability of Adams, you know, where the defense has to roll the coverage to him all the time, and then you have a tight end like Waller, who's a huge man who could run really fast. He's almost Randy Moss-ish as a receiver, the way he plays. So it's going to be like Kelce. You know, Kelce benefited from Tyreek Hill. mean, everybody rolled the coverage to Tyreek Hill. Like I don't know where Tyreek Hill ranks on Pro Football Focus and all that when you come up, but everybody, defensive coach in the National Football League, scared death of Tyreek Hill because he could take the top off the defense at any moment. So everybody rolls the coverage to Hill, or they played like they did last year, played that soft, everybody deep is deep. And Kelce was the beneficiary of it because he got man coverage and he could beat man coverage. That's going to change. But I think in Las Vegas, they have that dynamic. Hunter Renfrow last season was the best receiver in all of football, percentage of catch. And that's a big number you have to look at. The times the ball's thrown to the receiver and how many times it catch. He was at 82%. Most receivers are in the low 70s, right? And So that number, percentage of catch, is critical. It's really important because if I'm throwing it to you, you know, I want you to catch it 7 out of 10 times. I want to be able to be productive 7 out of 10 times. And Hunter Renfrow was 81%. He converted 42 first downs last year. He'll be almost Cooper Kupp-ish this year. Kupp had 81 first downs last year. I think he'll get a lot of them.
Follow him on Twitter. Listen to his podcast, Michael Lombardi, GM Shuffle Podcast, available on the Odyssey app. Michael, thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.